Hi, I'm Mark Graven, editor of the book Practicing Lean, Learning How to Learn How to Get Better, Better. This is an audiobook sample chapter. Feel free to share it with friends and colleagues. To learn more about this book and its contributors, or to purchase a paperback copy, a Kindle version, or other ebook formats, visit www.practicinglean.com. All proceeds from the book and this audiobook are being donated to the Louise H. Batts Patient Safety Foundation. As of September 1st, 2017, we've raised over $2,500, and you can donate if you wish directly on their website. You can visit www.louisebatts.org to donate or to download their free patient safety guidebooks and iPad app, and to check out other free resources on their site. I hope you enjoy the chapter and the book. Best wishes to you as you begin or continue practicing lean. Chapter 5, Paul Akers. Paul Akers describes himself as an entrepreneur, business owner, author, speaker, and lean maniac. Paul is founder and president of FastCap, LLC, based in Ferndale, Washington. FastCap is an international product development company founded in 1997 with over 2,000 distributors worldwide. A prolific inventor, Paul holds U.S. and international patents. His company, FastCap, launches approximately 20 new innovative products per year and has won Business of the Year in 1999 and 2010. Paul and his wife, Leanne, have built FastCap from their garage into a multi-million dollar company in 13 years. In 2011, Paul wrote his first book about lean manufacturing titled 2 Second Lean. In 2015, Paul finished his latest book, Lean Health, which you can download as a free PDF.
Hey, I'm Paul Akers, and this is the Lean Restart. I've been doing lean for 17 years, and every day is a massive revelation as to how much better I could do everything. You'd think at some point I would have figured it all out, right? Not a chance. I always tell people that becoming a lean thinker is like stepping into a perpetual Edison's laboratory. I just keep experimenting, doing the scientific method over and over again. You plan, you do, you check. With extreme emphasis on the you part. You have to get your hands dirty. You have to run the endless experiments and discover what works and what fails. Skip the theory bullshit. It will lead you down a rat hole that will rob you of all the real joy and satisfaction that lean bestows. That's really all lean is, experimenting with every facet of life. I'm constantly analyzing, learning. What is this? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen if I do that? I'm basically a problem magnet and a problem solver. Mark Graben asked me to write a chapter in a collaborative book he was writing with other lean leaders asking the same question. The question? What would I do differently if I did lean all over again with all the knowledge and experience that I have today? The funny thing is, just minutes earlier, I was in line at Starbucks and I opened an email with the same thought-provoking question from someone who had just read my book, 2 Second Lean. Being the lean maniac that I am, I didn't waste any time to think about my answer. Steaming coffee in hand, I simply pulled out my iPhone, leaned it against my wife's coffee, and began to muse. You can go to YouTube and see the exact answer I gave in living color. For those of you reading the book, here is my answer in black and white, plus a little editing for good measure. In order to properly answer this question, I have to transport myself back to my small little cabinet shop in 1986. Number one, understand the eight ways. I think the first thing is I would need to have a keen understanding of the eight ways. At that time, I had a very basic understanding of waste. I certainly didn't understand all the nuances and how the eight ways interacted with one another. I understood excess motion, but I didn't really understand overproduction. I didn't understand that transportation and inventory was really all just waste. I thought they were part of every process that you do every day, and you just had to live with them. Then there was the overprocessing from reworking all the defects I created. If I really had a deep understanding of these concepts, I would have systematically gone about trying to reduce them in every breath I'd take and every move I'd make, as the song so aptly states. Number two, eliminate batch work. I would have tried to eliminate batch work, refine every process so they were quick setups. If I had done this, I would have only needed to produce what I needed at that very moment. Back then, I would say to myself, hey, let's just make 30 of those. Then when I need some more, I just grab them off the shelf instead of wrestling with the time-consuming process of resetting up machines to make what I needed. The key was to leave the raw material in as raw a state as possible so that it was as flexible as possible. Understanding variation. I think the next thing is I would have had a solid understanding of the role that variation has on everything we do every day. I would have realized that every time there was something different going on, I had to stop and readjust. I would have realized that variation was not just variation. It was actually producing mountains of waste and slowing me up and denigrating my productivity and the quality of my work and my product. Worst of all, variation was sucking my emotional energy right out of me and diminishing my productivity because I was constantly having to stop and start. I never had any flow. 4, the importance of standardization. I wish I really had a keen understanding of standardization. Back then, I really tried hard to standardize things. I standardized the way I built my cabinets. My top and my bottoms were identical. I used the same screws for the most part, but I made plenty of exceptions instead of trying to focus on standardizing absolutely everything. I did not have a high-level understanding of standardization, and as a result, my non-standardized ways produced a lot of variation. Today, standardization for me is almost a religious experience. We basically have one cleaner that cleans 98% of everything in our facility. Windex. I'm Greek. We use one kind of paper towel, and the list goes on and on. I remember when I first had the standardization epiphany, when we were trying to standardize our bathrooms, we had at least 15 different cleaners that people had acquired over the years to maintain our bathrooms. Needless to say, this was sheer craziness. We cut that all down to Windex and Comet. 5, the need to emphasize quality. I think if I had understood quality back then a little differently, I would have felt entirely different about the quality equation. Oftentimes, I bought drawer guides and hinges based on what was a good deal. Everybody loves a good deal. I know I had problems with this one drawer system. It was less expensive, and it seemed like it would work okay. I remember having to go back and replace a bunch of drawer guides that I had implemented this new system on. 20 years later, I still get calls from customers asking me if I have replacement drawer guides, and I haven't been in the cabinet business for 17 years. If I would have just made quality the first criteria for my decision making, I would have saved myself a lot of heartache. Today, the first question I ask about any purchase is quality. Price is way down the list. 6, the power of Kanban. From an organizational standpoint, Kanban rocks. I didn't understand what a Kanban system was, let alone how it worked. I just kind of created a pseudo reorder system. I'd see a hinge getting low and I'd say, hey, I better order some. Like many people, I'd order a whole bunch more than I needed so I didn't run out of them, right? I built my inventories up to ridiculous levels on some things. If I had a simple limit Kanban system, a card that said reorder when I hit 20 hinges, this little card would have told me the critical information I needed to know, like the vendor, how many I ordered last time, the history of reordering. I could have made thoughtful decisions about the best levels for my inventory. This simple card system would have allowed me to order 50 instead of 500 and make my cash flow a whole lot better. I remember one time when my banker visited me, I was just a young startup business owner. My hardware sales guy was delivering boxes of hinges because he gave me a smoking deal. I think I paid like $1.50 a hinge, and they were normally $2.50. So I said, hey, just give me 1,000, about a 6-month supply as I remember. He pulled up in his hatchback car with a huge boxes of hinges. We were both unloading these hinges on my workbench when the banker stopped by. Wow, he said, you need that many hinges? I said, I got a good deal on them. Banker. Don't you know inventory is really expensive? You got to be careful how much inventory you carry. I looked at him like he was crazy. He didn't know anything about manufacturing, anything about the time it took to stop and reorder everything. He was right and I was clueless. If I had a Kanban system, I would have never had that problem. But instead, now my garage had to get bigger, and everything had to get bigger to house the thousands of hinges that I had bought that I didn't need. The next thing you know, instead of buying 10 boards of melamine, I was buying 50 boards of melamine. It was cheaper, and it lasted me longer. But everything had to get bigger, and then I was managing my new bigness. I had to walk further to manage everything. It was insane. If only I would have understood the Kanban system, it would have been so powerful. Number 7, wheels. I would have definitely understood the whole concept of wheels. I was into wheels back then. I had a lot of my stuff on wheels, but not because I really understood the flexibility that wheels brought to an operation. I had my edge bander on wheels, a massive machine. I had to be on wheels so I could roll it out of the way when I performed different operations because it took up so much room in my shop. I had a very limited space in a very small shop to work with. I had kind of understood the flexibility thing, but only from the standpoint of needing to move the machinery and equipment because it was in such a small, confined space. It was force flexibility instead of really understanding design flexibility. 8. The shop layout. You ask, how would you lay out your new shop? If I was doing it again, I would not build anything in. Just watch FastCap's Lean Tour. It has over 190,000 views. There's basically nothing built in our entire facility. Everything's on wheels. You'll see everything is just open. Almost everything is on wheels and everything is very simple. Our desks, our carts, it's all on wheels. Our filing cabinets, it's all on wheels. And easy to move and change at the drop of a hat. We make everything out of our fast pipe system. You can go on our website and check that out. When you understand standardization, standard work, quick setup time, SMED, single minute exchange of dies, Kanban, flexibility, and building nothing in, gosh, Lean is just a magic system. I don't know what to say. It's magic. 9, cut it in half. There is a saying I learned from Toyota that says, don't approach anything unless you can cut it in half. If I would have understood the power of this concept, I would have viewed every process completely different. If I was cutting parts or building a base cabinet or a drawer bank, I would have constantly challenged myself. If it takes me an hour, I want to see how I can do it in 30 minutes. I know for sure these kinds of gains are totally possible. I mean, I don't even question it anymore. It's absolutely for sure. Everything can be cut in half. 2 great examples. When I was in Kazakhstan, they were building the World Expo Center, and they were putting up these window stanchions about one a day. I said, you can do way better than that. And within 2 weeks, they were putting up 15 a day. My good friend Nick Cosell, president of Walters & Wolf, was manufacturing 30 windows a day. And I challenged him to get it up to 50 a day. He looked over at me and said, Akers, you're crazy. Today, 6 months later, they're doing 110 windows a day. And the new target is 200 a day. 10, lean culture. Because I was a one-man shop, I really didn't have to deal with the cultural aspect. I didn't have employees. Fast forward to the early days of FastCap when the new team members were multiplying like rabbits, I would have done everything different regarding the cultural aspect of lean. For the first 5 years practicing Lean, I essentially failed on the culture because I viewed Lean as a management tool to more effectively run my company. Indeed, it was that, but that's not what Lean really is. The reality of it is Lean is all about people and tapping into their boundless capacity. It wasn't until I realized that Lean was a people-oriented concept that I finally broke through and began to successfully build a Lean culture. Essentially, a lean culture is a learning culture where management focuses on the relentless training, teaching, and the elevating of its people to become world-class problem solvers. We accomplish this by the implementation of 2 basic concepts before we work each day. Number 1, 3S-ing our facility, sweep, sort, and standardize, and everyone makes one improvement as they're doing that. That takes about a half hour. Number 2, a morning meeting where we teach our people about everything from the products that we make to the U.S. Constitution. When I started focusing on these daily developments of my team members, everything changed. People don't believe in you until you believe in them. They really believe in you and will work super hard for you when you first invest in them. What I'm saying is a bit counterintuitive for a lot of leaders. I get it. Spending money on a daily basis, developing your people, will be hard to see on the bottom line, but it will be clear as day in the productivity and the team atmosphere that is created from creating a lean learning environment. This is true long-term thinking at its best. Lean is the craziest system in the world. I wish I would have known it all back then, but I know it now. I often say to myself, if I learned lean when I was 20, oh my gosh, I could not even imagine where I would be now. I feel like I have the best life in the whole world. I attribute 90% of that to my understanding of lean because it has turned my life into a rocket ship ride. It just keeps getting better. Everything just keeps getting better. So there you have it. Lean thinking. It never ends. Today, when I order my coffee, I use a very specific process. I want 1 inch of heavy whipping cream in the bottom. I hold my fingers in a certain way so they clearly understand and they don't screw it up. I try really hard to be very thoughtful about everything I do. Then the result is total clarity, less variation. I get what I want the first time, and the quality of everything I do is always improving. Something that frustrates me is when I brush my teeth in the shower, I put toothpaste on my toothbrush and it would roll over. So I put a little suction cup on the bottom of my toothbrush so it would stick to the wall and the toothbrush wouldn't roll over. No variation. Sometimes on a vertical surface, the toothpaste always seems to drip off before I use it. So now I change the process. I squeeze the toothpaste into the bristles so that it can't drip off. It's a simple process improvement that saves a lot of mess and hassle. When you think about it, the maid at the hotel that I'm staying at has less to clean up as well. When you have a deep understanding of lean, the ideas just go on and the benefits never end. What would I do if I started over? I'd become a lean maniac first and foremost.
Again, this is Mark Graben. Thanks for listening to the audiobook version of Practicing Lean, learning how to learn how to get better, better. To learn more about this book and its contributors, or to purchase a paperback copy, a Kindle version, or other ebook formats, visit www.practicinglean.com. If you enjoyed the book, please leave a review on amazon.com. and tell your friends and colleagues about the book. Again, all proceeds from the book and this audio edition are being donated to the Louise H. Batts Patient Safety Foundation. As of September 1st, 2017, we've raised over $2,500, and you can donate if you wish directly on their website. I'd encourage you to visit www.louisebatts.org to do that, or to download their free patient safety guidebooks and iPad apps, and to check out their other free resources on their website. Again, that's Louise Batts, spelled B-A-T-Z.org, louisebatts.org. Thanks again also to Samantha Lee, who kindly volunteered to read most of this audiobook. Samantha enjoys recording professional voiceovers and hopes to continue this interest in the future. I hope you enjoyed the book. I wish you the best as you begin or continue practicing lean. If you have feedback, you can contact me, mark@markgraben.com. Again, thanks for listening.